It's all about just deliciousness, really, and local produce, and try and highlight the hunter.
This is the Deep in the Weeds podcast. I'm Anthony Huckstep. During the summer, many Australians jump in the car, leave the major cities and explore the glory of the regions. With the lack of international travel, regional areas have become prime destinations. But what does it take to create great regional dining experiences? Frank Faulkner is the owner of EXP Restaurant and Fork Foods Kitchen Bakery in Pacolbin in the Hunter Valley of New South Wales. Frank, how are you?
Yeah, great. Thanks, Anthony. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on the show. You're in one of Australia's greatest wine regions, doing incredible food offering. What's it like being in the Hunter as a restaurateur?
Yeah, I think I'm very fortunate, along with all the other restaurateurs in the area. It's the perfect sweet spot, I would say. We're, 2 hours down the road from Sydney. And that's it. People are traveling for food and wine. So we have locals during the week, and every weekend there's great tourism for the area. And it's easy to do what we want to do, have a fine dining restaurant. Well, that's kind of the category we get put into. But because there's a market for it, people after good food, good wine.
This summer is a little bit different to some of the more recent summers. It's a little bit wetter. What's it been like for you so far?
I've enjoyed it. Normally, every summer you're in the sweltering heat, 40 degrees in the kitchen. Your freezers start to break down and your fridges struggle, so you have to plan your menu and check that your ice creams are still frozen for service. But this summer's been a breeze for that kind of stuff. It's been nice in the kitchen, and I've never seen the Hunters so green. Like, I've spoke to a few wineries and cellars and some of their grapes. It's great at the moment, and we've had some awesome rain, but now they all want it to stop for a decent vintage. But I can't complain as a chef. My gardens are thriving in this weather.
Well, tell us a bit about the region. What sort of produce is there available on hand in summer for you?
I guess some of the local stuff that I always love to use every season, like wild fennel grows in abundance everywhere, and it's going to flower and pollen at the moment. So it's always on savoury or sweets. Some local blueberries not too far from us. They'll start towards the end of December in the next 2 weeks, and they're just a short period, so I get on them and order as much as I can for 2 months. And then we've got local stone fruits. We have some local people that just had kumquats that just finished up. Beautiful local chickens, ducks, eggs, all that kind of stuff. And in Morpeth, which is not too far from us, not far from where I live, lots of corn, lots of carrots, Newcastle Greens, who grow a lot of produce for us, and also a lot of restaurants in Sydney. So, yeah, we definitely have our fair share of local produce, which is great.
You've had an incredible influence in the region since opening EXP, but take us back to when you were young. What sort of role did food play in your family?
I guess I come from... my mum took care of myself and four other kids. She had five of us, and was by herself for a good chunk of my childhood, or when I was in high school. So, yeah, we lived on a budget, and my mum was a really good cook. But I was the pickiest little shit when it comes to food. I used to never eat anything. To say that I was going to be a chef when I grew up, like my mum probably would have laughed at it, because she would have had to force feed me vegetables. So it's pretty funny looking back at my childhood. But then once I hit high school, I really enjoyed food tech, and I had a beautiful teacher that touched me and probably many students, like, and helped them along the way. And I got a first casual job when I was 15, And I really enjoyed that job. Probably had a few avenues that I was looking at going down. But I really enjoyed food tech and hospitality. Really enjoyed my first job. And then I just kind of never looked back. It was always, it was easy working in the kitchen. It was lots of fun. I got a grip of things very easily. So, I kind of never really saw any other path after that.
Take us back to those early years. Were there any sort of standout experiences in the commercial kitchen that sort of made you realize that you could make a real career out of this?
Well, yeah, there's a few points. Like I said, my first job was at Broke, the Cow Cafe it was called. And I just worked with these two owners. They had their own cellar door, only opened weekends, and I worked with both the owners and maybe two other staff. They had a lot of time to spend with me, and they gave me a lot of responsibility. And that responsibility early on gave me confidence in the kitchen, taught me how to cook steaks, cook basic desserts, baking. And they thought I picked it up really well. And that kind of nurturing kind of, yeah, really gave me that confidence. So I wanted to get an apprenticeship after that. My apprenticeship was the total other end of the spectrum, working in a hotel. So I picked up a gig when Crown Plaza opened at Hunter Valley. And I thought hotels were the business. I just thought this is where I'm at when I was an apprentice. I thought, you know, I'm going to qualify. I'm going to become a sous chef, a head chef, and then I'm going to sit in the office and I'm going to design menus. And I thought that was the pinnacle of what careers would be. I just didn't know anything. And but working in the hotel court, I guess, gave me lots of structure and organization. There's lots of good processes and organizing and HR and managing staff that you may not learn when you work in a small restaurant or a small fine dining restaurant. So I would say early on I was stunted in food knowledge, but definitely ahead in organization, which is a big thing. And then different kind of points. That was a big eye-opener. But then the next one, my wife and I and six other friends from that all worked at Crown Plaza decided to move to London. And we all shared a house together, which was fun and stupid. And and then we all, many of us worked together well, so it was probably a bit much. But it was good because I learned there was much more than hotels. I worked at a nice restaurant and worked for Tom Akins over there. And, he's a brilliant and intense, scary chef. With amazing food and amazing work ethic. That opened my eyes to restaurants. And since then, I never looked back.
Tom Akins is one of the UK's most celebrated chefs. Take us back into that kitchen. Is there any dishes that you remember from your time there and what it was like in that kitchen?
I wouldn't say dishes are the memories. It's more produce. After being in a hotel and, I don't know, just bulk ordering produce and getting meats in, you know, pre-portioned or produce on menus that's definitely not prime in their season, to go over there and use very seasonal produce and the best that they can find in the UK. You know, hand-dived scallops that were, I remember weighing scallops that were 180 grams and we would shuck them and then like pulling one of those open and just looking at it and it's like a steak, you know, you would cut it into three fillets to cook it. It's just, I was just amazed. I never knew there was stuff like this. And working with a lot of flatfish was great over there. Spent a bit of time on fish and on meats, dry aging. So, yeah, learning a lot of those things and picking up a lot of recipes while I was over there, which was great for building a repertoire, really.
What brought you back to Australia?
Probably money. My wife and I, or we were just dating at the time, we bought a house before we went overseas. And my mum was kind enough to house sit while we were gone. And while being over there, yeah, we just couldn't kind of pay off a mortgage and be over there for any longer. So we did 1 year and then decided to move back home.
You moved back to the Hunter and joined Troy Rhodes Brown at Muse Restaurant. And what was it like being part of the growth of that restaurant and the many accolades that it received?
Yeah, it was amazing. I always remember the first time my wife and I dined there before we went overseas. And, yeah, at the time that was like the best dining experience we'd ever had. I thought it was amazing. Yeah, it's a beautiful team, beautiful dining room, and a great mentor, boss and friend to work with. So when I came back to the area, there was two restaurants that I wanted to work at. It was either Muse or there used to be The Rock at Pools Rock, which had many accolades as well. And I just really enjoyed the team at Muse and was able to take on a position there as a chef de partie.
We've had Troy on the show a couple of times now, but what's he actually like to work with? Do you have any stories of the experiences?
Troy's just a good, he's just an awesome guy. He's very thoughtful and would do anything for his staff. And also, very funny and very calm for a chef. He is so patient and calm. And even maybe if he's not feeling that way inside, he looks it. So, I just think I never really saw him lose his cool ever. And even if something went really tits up, yeah, he's just always so cool, calm and collected, which, reflects on the way his team works and the way he carries the whole restaurant, really. We had a great friendship, and I still talk to Troy every week normally. I'll call him for a half hour chat on the way home, talk about service, talk about food, bit of friendly competition here and there. But he's always been a great mentor and I just always wish him the best. He's just total champion. Some great experiences that we had there. Always remember we had Tetsuya come for a cook a lunch at Muse. We cooked a 3-course lunch and he came and did a cooking dem and he got to eat Troy's food and be with the team for the day. So that was an amazing experience. But also a definite highlight was when Muse received two hats to kind of hit that point. It was well-deserved for Troy and Megan. And I was just thankful to be part of the team and kind of be put in the role as head chef when that happened.
Take us to that role. Muse and Troy and yourself built incredible relationships with local producers. What sort of foundation did that build for you to move to open your own venue?
Yeah, it was amazing. I'd absorbed a lot of that from him. He had lots of connections with different growers and producers, and then starting as a chef de partie and wanting to always prove myself and try and help him in the business, I would search for other producers. So I guess I was a part of that to help bring on new suppliers whenever you can find them. It's not always easy. Everyone's out there and everyone's doing their own thing and honing their skills or growing their produce, but not everyone's always connecting as easy as you think. Like, you have to actually search for these guys, and that's it. They mightn't be looking for restaurants or know that there's a market. And even to find little guys that, have local mulberries or local blackberries every year or the kumquats, that comes with time and people that dine in the restaurant. To help Build the Produce was definitely a big step in making it easier to open a restaurant, that's for sure.
Well, take us to that moment when you landed on AXP. How did the idea and the site and everything come together?
I think I probably Troy was always easier to talk to, which was great. And I always had said, you know, I'd love to open my own restaurant one day. And he'd kind of joke and be like, oh, let's open another Muse together. And I'd just laugh at him and be like, nah. I said, I'll open a restaurant with you if you, like, we call it whatever I want. And he'd be like, nah, we'll just do another Muse. I wonder if he remembers that, actually. But I came up with the concept maybe 2 years before I actually found the restaurant and was working on it. And I guess EXP, just the name is all about the experience. So I wanted a restaurant that was about, encompasses, more than food and wine, but just everything to enhance the experience. So I wanted to focus on, the crockery, the cutlery, where the tables are made, just try and get every detail to be something unique and special. Probably went too overboard in that thought process before I opened the restaurant, not knowing how much, how little time I had in my day. Like I wanted to have my own soaps and I wanted to have this and that and create my own drinks. And there's just not enough time in a day when you're starting something like that. From building that name and then kind of working on a website and dishes and then finding a space, I just heard that Oakvale Winery was looking possibly to put a restaurant in. So I reached out and met Richard Becker, who's the owner there, and pitched the idea to him and his wife, and I guess the rest is history. They were very interested, and they gave me a shot at starting our first restaurant.
Take us back to those early years. What was it like running your own restaurant like that compared to being a head chef?
Yeah, you learn very quickly just how much everything changes, like being a head chef. I could spend a lot of time being creative and working on dishes and then losing lots of that time to managing staff and paperwork and just organizing things and hiccups and problems that kind of arise every day. So you soon learn that you don't have all that much time for those things that you might enjoy as you did before. So I say to young chefs and people that work for me now, you know, make sure, because I say, I am happy with the way I did everything, but if I was to have another opportunity, I would make sure that I learn as much as possible before reaching out, because you won't get to take that step back again. You won't get to go and travel and learn at other restaurants or kind of you have to learn. You have to be self-taught from then on. You have to teach yourself everything, which is a great process, and I enjoy teaching myself, but sometimes it's a longer process than learning from a mentor.
How much has EXP changed in the six-year life that it's had so far?
Yeah, tremendously. tremendously. That's it. We started at Oakvale Winery, 30-seat restaurant maybe inside and 10 seats outside. Small chef's bar, 6 or 8 guests at the chef's bar. We used to do a la carte during lunch, or we used to do a la carte all the time and offer a tasting menu. Towards the end, it was a la carte and tasting menu. But then finally, 3.5 years ago, we moved to our sister site, so where Fork Foods Kitchen and Bakery is. So after having two businesses at separate locations for 1.5 years, I just found, yeah, it, wherever I was spending my time, the other business would struggle. So combining them just seemed like a no-brainer, to combine overheads and also be in all places at one time. Just seemed like a great opportunity, and I thought we could pull it off in the space that we had. So we gutted our whole restaurant, and in that process, we were hit by COVID right at that point. So we were mid-renovations when COVID hit, and we just sunk all of our kind of savings into revamping the restaurant. So we were kind of shitting ourselves a little bit, because we just paid, you know, 50% and you got half the work done, and we had two restaurants jammed into one with shit everywhere, and then all of a sudden we were in lockdown. So it was a little bit worrying, but it was just lucky enough for government support, really. And then, yeah, to open up after that and open up in our new space, which is just, we had an architect help design this one. The layout and the feel of the restaurant is just, yeah, it's very chic. It's very, it's just very modern. It's very us. And now we offer a tasting menu that evolves weekly. We probably change two or three dishes a week. It's just the one tasting menu. We focus on giving a very unique, great experience for every customer, and I feel that's what we deliver now. And it's taken, yeah, that 5 to 6 years to get it to a point where I'm really happy. It's finally like the vision that I had at the start. So yeah, I'd say it's a big process to get there, but I feel like I've finally reached it.
Tell us a bit about your food and your cooking. Do you have a dish or two at the moment on the menu that sort of exemplifies where you're at as a cook?
There's a few it's all about just deliciousness, really, and local produce, and try and highlight the Hunter. So there's a classic. When I opened the doors, I had ham on toast on, and it's house cured duck ham, macadamia butter, and toast. So super simple, but it's so Moorish, and it's, people eat the whole menu. They get like 12 items, and it's 70% of the time the favorite. So it's had evolutions in its 6 years. It used to be served on brioche, then it was served on focaccia. The duck ham recipe has changed and evolved, and the current one, it's served on our sourdough crumpets. And we do a banging crumpet, and it's just, I think that's it's one of the memorable dishes that we serve.
You mentioned that you moved EXP to the site where Fork Foods Kitchen and Bakery are. Tell us a bit about Fork Foods and what you're offering there.
Yeah, Fork Foods, I always love eating casual and dining at cafes, and have enjoyed making bread, so we wanted to open a bakery. So it's the total opposite end of the spectrum when it comes to EXP, which I figured would be great. Means we could cover the whole market in the area. We can have people dine for dinner and then come back for something super casual in the day. So we all offer all day breakfast and brunch menu, and still it's about using, you know, great local produce and trying to, yeah, source great produce, not do too much to it. And just the simple things done right. So we just try and do, you know, the best bacon and eggs in town, triple smoked bacon from Hungerford Meats, and then local eggs from Little Hill Farm. We make our own sourdough, chipotle glaze our bacon, and we do the best hash browns. I don't like to float my own boat, but I haven't had a hash brown as good as ours that I can think of anywhere. We got hash browns down pat. Like, and I love a good hash brown. Like, I'm dirty for a Macca's hash brown. Like, I don't care what anyone says. They're good. And, yeah, we do a banger of a hash. So it's, and then crumpets is the other thing at the bakery. So, we focus on our bread and crumpets, fresh baked sourdough each day, a few brownies and cannelés. But then we do, you know, six pack of sourdough crumpets, so you can get plain ones to take away. Or for the last few months, we've been doing loaded crumpets. So we do kind of like a loaded donut. If you think about it, it's like a apple pie crumpet or cultured butter with Nutella and brownie, Leamington with Davidson plum, and banoffee. So that's kind of it's like the other side of fork foods that I really enjoy, those simple things. Yeah, just I really love bread. I try not to eat too much of it, but yeah.
What's it like running a regional restaurant? Is there an obligation to represent the region and look after locals as well?
Yeah, definitely. There's good camaraderie amongst locals, and they're all out to support each other. Like, whenever someone visits the Hunter Valley, you want them to enjoy their whole experience, not just at your restaurant. You know, you hope they're staying somewhere nice, and you hope that they have other great experiences, because all it's going to do is promote the Hunter and bring more people here by word of mouth, or bring that customer back in the future. So, yeah, when people dine, we're always recommending our friends when it comes to wineries and cellar doors and other experiences. Because, yeah, it brings more for the whole area.
What do you love about what you do?
What I do right now, I just have a great work-life balance with amazing team and, yeah, creativity and freedom with what I'm doing. Like I was saying earlier, it got me, you know, 5-6 years to get to this point. I used to work for my business, and now my business works for me. So I just really have, yeah, the best of both worlds with what we do at the restaurant and the cafe at the moment.
Well, it's summer and people are traveling and taking breaks and getting on holiday. How does it feel moving into 2022? What sort of positives are you going to take from this experience, and what are you looking forward to?
Just looking forward to moving out of COVID and back to hopefully some normality. It's been rough for everyone and hospitality, but yeah, definitely. Hospitality's been hit hard, but I feel for lots of other industries, like music and arts, definitely, and the whole tourism sector. So hopefully that the country is, you know, nearly 95% vaccinated. We will live with this, and hopefully just everyone can continue getting on with the job. I just want to do what we do without having to worry about lockdown or anything, which I don't think we will have to. So I'm excited to just keep moving forward. And actually, on that, I just think it's kind of like a whole new start. It's been after this whole COVID thing. And I think after chatting to some restaurants and other people in the industry, we got to make choices that you wouldn't normally make and reset the rules, which has been great. Like, you've reset a whole new path on yourself with what you're doing. And I think we've had the same opportunity. After COVID, I just went, you know, I'm going to make the rules now. Like, as in, like, people come to us for an experience, and if they fail to show, rather than a $50 charge, we charge the whole menu. We have less cancellations, and people, I think, after the whole lockdown, respect respect dining a bit more, and business in general. Small businesses are a lot more thoughtful. So, yeah, I think that's been a big thing to take out of 2020 and 2021. And moving forward, I just hope that small business kind of, yeah, have a bit more, respect and freedom moving forward. Hopefully less tax.
Well, Frank, it's an absolute honor to have you on Deep in the Weeds today, just to hear a bit of your story. Good luck with the year ahead. Please keep in touch, and we'll catch up again soon.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. And I've really enjoyed listening to the podcast. Not that I have time to listen to all of them, but I think what you're doing is amazing.
Thanks, Frank. It's great to have you on.
Thanks so much, Anthony. Cheers.
This is the Deep in the Weeds podcast. I'm Anthony Huckstep. Stay tuned as we take a deep dive into the lives of the incredible people who ply their trade in the food and hospitality sector. Special thanks to executive producer Rob Locke for making this all happen. Follow us on Instagram at Deep in the Weeds podcast, or email us at podcast@deepintheweeds.com.au. Stay safe and be well.